All right. Hey, my name's Chris. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. I work here. So there you go. Welcome to those of you who are with me in this room and those of you who are watching online, various locations. Hey, is it cold enough for you? Yeah, a little cold. I can't wait till winter actually arrives. So that's later this week, right? So there you go. It's still fall. So there you go. I think the wind chill when I got here was like minus 27 or something like that. So there you go. So it's winter in Wisconsin. So this is what you get. So here we go. And the weather has kept a lot of people in. It didn't keep the students in. On Friday, the students, college students from Edgewood and Madison College and UW-Madison, they showed up for study day in a big way. There were over 1,650 students here in this building on study day, 1650. Yeah, let's hear it. Awesome. Yep. And they come because we provide lots and lots of food for them. So it's fantastic. And I just love to see all the students in the building. There is a kind of a concert in the evening. And that evening, while the concert was going on, I was in the atrium putting all kinds of pizzas out there. Because we have all kinds of pizzas, you know, that come. And then when the students are done with the concert, then they go out and they just like tons of pizzas. Also, we have volunteers that put together plastic bags full of all kinds of food that did not get eaten, so we don't have any leftovers. All the food goes out of the building, and it goes with the students. So it's you know, and it's just hundreds and hundreds of plastic bags. It takes lots of volunteers to make study day happen. So I was out there, and I was by one of these large tables that had all this food. And this young woman, the concert was going on, this young woman comes by, and she's kind of looking at all the plastic bags. And I just looked at her and I said, hey, you know, just go ahead and take one. She goes, like, are you sure? I said, yeah, just go ahead and grab one. And then she goes, oh my gosh, this is going to be like my lunch for the whole week. And I said, oh, that's fantastic. And then she walks up to me and then she says, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure. And she looks at me and she goes, do you go here? So I said, yeah, you know, I go here. And so obviously, you know, I kind of think she doesn't. So, duh. So I just said, hey, listen, so is this your first time at Blackhawk? She goes, oh, yeah. She says, I'm a sophomore. I said, like, where are you from? I'm Green Bay. And I said, what's your field of study? She said, English. And I said, obviously, your first study day. And she goes, oh, my gosh, yes. She said, my whole floor, everybody talked about study day, talked about it last year. I just, like, you know, couldn't believe it because they said food, food, food. And she says, what? Can I ask you another question? And I said, yeah. How do they get people to give so much here? That was really what she asked. And I said, I don't know. We just ask and people give. And then this is all true story, you guys. Like some of the stories I tell aren't true. And then she said, why? And I said, because we just love you guys. I never told her who I was. And I never told her really the real reason why we give. Because the real reason why we give is it's religious kind of sound. I don't want to freak people out with religious words. But the real reason we give is not because we just love students. And that's one of the real reasons we give. But the main reason is because we follow Jesus Christ. And Christ is a giver. Is that right? God is all about generosity. You cannot say you're a follower of Jesus Christ and not be a generous person. Because Christ is all about generosity. And I tell you guys, when study day happens and I see the hundreds of volunteers that we have and all of the food that it comes and people just, the students, man, they're just like, look at this, like, what? And we're just like, you know, one guy was thinking about taking a piece of pizza and he was kind of, can I have a plastic bag for like the pizza and stuff like that? I just gave him the box. I said, take the box. He's like, what? The reason we do that is because we love students, we love our community, but we love Christ, and Christ is a giver. If you're a follower of Christ, Generosity is just the logical outcome of following Jesus Christ. We demonstrated generosity last Sunday when we had an offering for Empowering Hope, our Advent Conspiracy offering. You guys gave over $159,000 to that offering last week. So praise God. Every penny of that money goes outside the walls of Black Hawk Church. So that was kind of the kickoff of it. You can continue to give to Advent Conspiracy through January the 15th. And I know many people continue to give. So you're welcome to do that. Every penny given to Advent Conspiracy. Just on your check, just say Advent Conspiracy. Every penny goes outside the walls to all kinds of people in our community, in our country, and in the world who are needing all kinds of hope. We power and partner with all kinds of organizations. And many of you will demonstrate generosity this coming week or the next couple of weeks as you think and contemplate a year-end gift. My wife and I do this every year, and I know we join many of you who do the same kinds of things. Year-end giving here is a big part of kind of our budgeted year. Folks in accounting say that we need about $1.4 million before this day and the end of the year in order to kind of keep up with our kind of projected budgeted thing. So that's going to be a part of what happens also. And when I say $1.4 million, I'm thinking, oh my gosh. But because Black Hawk is such a generous place, we see that kind of thing happen like every year, year in and year out. And I can just tell you right now, as your pastor, I'm like so proud of you guys. This is an awesome place to be part of a local church community. So before we go any further, and I launch into my talk, I just want to thank God for you guys and thank God for your generosity. Let's go ahead and do that now. Father, I thank you for Black Hawk Church. I thank you for that young woman from Green Bay who was here for the very first time and she couldn't figure out how we get people to give around here. We thank you, Father, for the giving spirit and the generous hearts that are a part of so many people here who bring hot dogs and brats and potato chips and carrots and give from their own resources so that we might not just make a difference in the life of one student from Green Bay, but in the lives of hundreds and thousands of students and thousands of people, not just here in our community at Black Hawk, but in our local communities around here, people who are in desperate need, people around the world. We pray, Father, that you would help us continue to be a generous church because it's a logical outworking if we say that we're actually following Christ. We thank you so much for this. We pray this in Christ's name. For his sake, all God's people said, amen. Awesome. Hey, on October the 8th was a Saturday, and I was having coffee with a friend of mine who lives in Boston now, and he was in town for like a weekend, and I was looking forward to just being with him, and while we were having coffee, my phone rang. And, you know, normally when my phone rings and I'm with a friend who's from out of town, I'm not going to kind of mess with it, but my phone was kind of laying face up on the table, and I could see that my smartphone said the call was coming from a friend of mine named Marilyn Beach. Now, if you don't know Marilyn, Marilyn's been a part of our church for a long, long time. I've known Marilyn for over 20 years, and we're good friends. And Marilyn kind of runs the Mother Child Resource Center that's here at Black Hawk Church. And we just, again, another generous thing. We just give all kinds of things to people who are in need. And she organizes that a lot on Saturdays because Sundays people come and then donate to Mother Child Resources. I got a call from Marilyn. I don't normally get calls from Marilyn on Saturday. So because I was with my friend, I just said, you know what? I normally wouldn't take this, but I got to see what this is about. So I answered the phone, and she said, Chris? I said, Marilyn? And she said, are you busy? And I said, are you okay? And she said, well, I'm at the church, and I think I'm kind of by myself, and something strange happened. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. And she goes, you know, I was here, and I was kind of folding clothes, and all of a sudden, this guy walks in, and it's kind of like, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So I said, Marilyn, do you feel safe right now? And she said, yeah, I feel pretty safe, but it's just weird. And I said, what's weird? And she said, well, he wants to meet with you, and that's not too unusual. People come off the street and say, can I meet with the pastor? That happens like constantly. And I said, okay. But this is the weird thing he said. He said he's your cousin. I said, well, not. I mean, that's not. That's very weird. I mean, we get people coming to try to meet with me all the time, but they don't say I'm his cousin. And he says, well, Ian's sister is your cousin. And I said, well, what's his name? And then she goes, what's your name again? And he says, loud enough so that I can hear through her phone into my ear, Lee Kramer. When I heard that, I about dropped the phone in my coffee. That is my cousin. I said, Lee Kramer? She goes, Lee Kramer? He says, Lee Kramer. I think, what in the world is Lee? So this is like total legit here. No one in the world would know that. The last time I saw Lee Kramer was at his mother's funeral in 1977. I'm thinking, what? I completely lost track of Lee Kramer. Like, what? So I said, tell Lee Kramer I'll be there in just a second. So I left my friend. I came to the church. And there in the lower level Brader Way was this guy right here. That's Lee Kramer. Long story short, he's been living in Hawaii for like years and years and years. He's 77, and he's basically came back to the mainland. He never comes back to the mainland to do a bucket list. And I was on his bucket list. He found me through the internet. He said, I'm just trying to connect with people that I'm related to, and there's not a lot of us left, and I just wanted to see if, and oh my gosh, we started all kinds of stories. My wife and I had him over for dinner, and we spent some hours with him, and he just came out of nowhere. It's like, oh my gosh. Lee Kramer is not really my cousin. He's my father's cousin. So that makes him, I guess, my second cousin. And he knows all kinds of stories about my dad. Now, here's the deal. This is kind of funny to have his picture up there, because you guys have never met my father. My dad died in 1991. I talk about him sometimes, but short of my wife, nobody has had as big an influence on my life as my father. Huge influence on my life. And when my dad was a part of my life, well, he was bald. So here's a picture of my dad. This is the kind of way I remember him. This is 2 years before he died. This picture is taken in 1988. My dad's 68 in that picture. I'm 32, and my son Daniel, who now is a professor of philosophy at Western Michigan, he is 6 years old in that picture. My dad, we're standing next to that clock, and those of you who have been in my house have seen that clock. How many of you have been in my house and seen that clock? Raise your hand. There you go. So there's all kinds of stories about that clock. This sounds like a lie, but it's a true story. Years and years before that picture was taken, my dad and I went to a woods, cut down a cherry tree together, and he built that clock out of that cherry tree. He let the wood cure for years. When he finally, he wouldn't give us like something that he made like that until we had our own house. And so we had been in this house in Shreveport for just like a year or so. So he made this clock. Once we got our own house, he made the clock. He didn't have anything big enough to bring the clock in, so he bought an Oldsmobile station wagon that clock would fit in it. This is before minivans, you guys. Can you imagine a day before minivans? And then he drives it down to us, and he's kind of unveiling it, and that's that picture right there. All of my years, I knew my dad. He was bald. But Lee Kramer is older than me. He remembers when my dad actually had hair. Here's a picture of my dad when he had hair. Oh my gosh, he's cool looking, isn't he? So none of that rubbed off on me, I can tell you that right now. Lee remembers my dad like that. Now, my dad had a sixth grade education, never made it past sixth grade. But my dad worked in a factory all his life. And when we were talking about my dad, it was just like magic in our dining room. I mean, like, I don't talk to anybody in Madison who ever even met my dad. And I'm talking to somebody who actually knows things about my dad that, like, I don't know. I said, when you think of my dad, what do you think of? He says, well, this is kind of a funny thing. And he starts laughing. And Lee says, when I think of your dad, I think of somebody who smells good. And my wife and I just started laughing. That's exactly my dad. Nobody would say that. My dad worked in a factory all his life, and he couldn't stand the smell of a factory. So he'd come home, take a shower, and then after he took a shower, he basically bathed in Old Spice cologne. You knew it was my dad 20 feet away. I mean, you know, 25. We spent that evening at my house talking and telling stories about my dad. And it was just the most powerful evening. After Lee left, I wanted to go to a drugstore and buy some Old Spice. Now, why is that? Because my dad, I mean, short of my wife, nobody has near the influence as he has on my life. Why did I want to buy some Old Spice? Why did I just relish every moment picking Lee Kramer's mind about facts about my dad? Because basically, I just longed to be with him. He died in 91. I'd give anything to be with my dad. Why is that? Why is it when we talk about someone who we loved, who's no longer with us, and we think about them, we just long to be with them? Why is that? Well, the theological answer is that it's true of all people at all time and all places, because all human beings are made in the image of God. That's the theological answer. Innate in human beings are not designed to be loners. Human beings are designed to be with someone else. Why? The Bible tells us why. Why is because we are made, all people, doesn't matter what race, what culture, what nationality, no matter when you lived, if you're a human being, you long for companionship. You want to be with someone. Why is that? Because we're made in the image of God. And God, in his nature, is all about with. He's like with. Because God is triune. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's kind of ironic. The very first message I preached in 2016 is about this relationship of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We were in a love series, and the reason love is so important is because God is love. And the very essence of God is this, and a big word for it called perichoresis, the idea that peri, around, choresis, idea of choreographies. God, in the three persons, they kind of perichoresis, they kind of dance around with each other, basically, as they relate to each other. Because God, in his very essence, is all about with. And that's why we, when we are in a loving relationship, want to be with someone. We're basically just mirroring who God wants us to be, because God is all about this. God is about being with others. In fact, that's the very heart of Christmas. And it's actually what the Bible is all about. God wants to be with us. That's what we're going to talk about today. Take your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. What I want to do today is talk about the heart of Christmas and help us see how that will lead us into what we're going to be doing for 2017 as we go through a series that will help us fall in love with God, who wants to be with us. Because that's the heart of the Bible, it'll help us springboard into what we're going to be doing in all of 2017. God wants to be with us. Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Familiar story, but oh my goodness, so much is packed in that. In those two names, the whole idea of the good news about Jesus Christ are unveiled to us. His two names, Jesus. Jesus is obviously English. It translates the Greek Yesu. Yesu transliterates his Aramaic name, Hebrew name, Yeshua. Or in English, we would say Joshua. So when Jesus is running around playing games, and when kids are calling out to him, they're not saying Jesus. They're saying Yeshua, Yeshua. Yeshua means Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves. And his second name, Emmanuel, means God with us. You see how that's the gospel? Yahweh saves because Yahweh wants to be with us. The center of the Christmas message is the center of the Bible. God with us. There's a German theologian who died a long time ago named Karl Barth. He said those are the three most powerful words in the entire Bible. God with us. It's basically why we have the Bible. God wants to be with us. Matthew does an interesting thing. He bookends his entire gospel with this concept of Jesus being with us. We see it in chapter 1 and then chapter 28. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The very last phrase in Matthew. You guys ever heard of that passage before? It's called the Great Commission. God with us. He wants to be with us to the very end of the age. And in the very center of the book of Matthew, he talks about basically what a local church is. We read this in the center of Matthew. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. The center of the entire Bible, the main thesis of the Bible is this: God with us. It's the heart of the Christmas story, and it's basically the reason we have the Bible, because God wants to be with us. So I'm saying this over and over again. I think you guys are falling asleep, so I want you guys to participate with me right now. So say this phrase with me. We're not going to put it on the screens. Just say this phrase with me: God with us. Ready? God with us. So say it like this: God wants to be with us. Say that. God wants to be with us. Everybody wake up. Everybody wake up. Ready? Here's the phrase you're going to say. God wants to be with us. Say it. God wants to be with us. Say it again.
God wants to be with us.
All right, let's personalize it. End with not us, but me. God
wants to be with me.
You believe that? Some of us get to a place in our life where we go, oh my gosh, because of what I did just last night, or because of what I've done this week. There's no way. Wrong, 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 wrong. God wants to be with us. Oh, but you don't know who I am. I'm a really, listen to this. Stop, 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 stop. God knows that you are messed up. He knows you're more messed up than you actually think you're messed up. He knows the depths of your sin better than you know the depths of your sin. You're more worse off than you actually think you are, actually. And God totally knows that, and yet he still wants to be with us. Say it again using me instead of us. God
wants to be with me.
God wants to be with me. He wants to be with me, even though I am a mess. That's why we have Christmas. That's why we have Easter. Why? Because God wants to be with me. He wants to be with us. It's basically the storyline of the entire Bible, basically. If you plot through the entire Bible, the core of the Bible is the Christmas message. God wants to be with us. So we went through the storyline of the Bible. We'll go something like this. God plans. People rebel. God responds. God promises. And then repeat that cycle. That's the whole Bible right there. God makes a plan. People, because we're so messed up, we rebel. Because God is gracious and just and loving and holy, he responds, and then he makes a promise. And then you repeat that. If you were to divide the Bible up into four big sections, the sections might look something like this. There is God and the world, God and Israel, God and Jesus, God and the church. God and the world are the creation narratives in the beginning of Genesis. And then starting in Genesis 12 to the end of Malachi in the Old Testament, it's God and Israel. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is God and Jesus. And then the Acts to the book of Revelation is God and the church. That's the whole Bible right there. And the center of everything, why we have all those books and the plan and then the rebellion, the response, is because it's driven by this one simple truth. God wants to be with us. If somebody comes up to you on the street and says, hey, you're a Christ follower, or nobody would say that. They go, hey, you go to one of those denominations that like believes in the Bible, right? That's what they would really say. Hey, what's the Bible about? Your answer would be, God wants to be with us. How you guys doing? Do you get that? Somebody says, what's the Bible about? You go,
God wants to be with us.
That's pretty much it. What's the Bible about? God wants to be with us. God wants to be with us. God has revealed himself to human beings three different ways. Only three ways that he's revealed himself. He reveals himself through nature, through the things that we see. Here's a good verse for that, Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Anything that you see in nature speaks of God, whether it's the starry night or whether it's a bee that you see or if it's a snowflake that you see and you go, oh my gosh, look at that. Declares the glory of God. It speaks about who God. God reveals himself through nature. That's why you walk through a woods, you look at nature, and you're looking at basically the work of God. This is God. He was revealing himself. It's awesome. God reveals himself through nature. He reveals himself through his son. Here's a good verse for that. No one has ever seen God but the one and only son, who himself is God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He has made him known. He reveals himself through his son, and he reveals himself through his word. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So God speaks to us through nature, through his son, and through his word. And what he says is basically this: I want to be with you. I want to be with you. The Bible is amazing. There are all kinds of metaphors about the Bible. Here are a few. The Bible is like a light. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path. The Bible is like a sword. For the word of God is alive, it's active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Have you ever opened the Bible and you were just like, I'm not sure. And then you read a verse and you go, that's a sword. Basically, it's like, whoa, it's working right there. The Bible's like fire, like a hammer. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. The Bible endures forever. Grass withers, flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. The Bible is like food. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." In 2012, 5 years ago, we started a series to take all of Black Hawk Church through the Bible in 1 year, and we kind of based it off of that verse right there, and we didn't say it's food. We said basically the title of the series was what? Eat This Book. Eat This Book. How many of you remember Eat This Book 2012? You were here in 2012. And so we took the whole church through Eat This Book. Our goal was to get everybody at Black Hawk Church engaged in the Word of God. And then after 2012 was over, we put focus groups together and we said, hey, what do we do right? What do we do wrong? We got a consistent response on how we could make it better. And that is this, basically. It was, the readings were too long. And people felt guilty about not being able to keep up with the readings. Essentially, everybody that tried to read through the Bible, only about a fourth of the people actually made it through. And three-fourths kind of dropped out sometime. And then everybody's kind of dealing with guilt and stuff like that. So we decided if we're going to do that again, we're going to do it a little different than we did when we did Eat This Book. So our teaching team started thinking about this like last February or so, and we've been working all through last spring and summer, and we are going to go through the Bible again. But this year, in 2017, we're not calling it Eat This Book. We're calling it this. Love this book. Love this book. Our goal is not to read through the entire Bible, but our goal is to help everybody that engages with this study to fall in love with the Bible. If somebody was to come out on a street and say, "What's the Bible about?" you would say, "No, I didn't hear you guys say, what's the Bible about?" God wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. Let me talk about what we're going to do as we provide a tools tour, and then as you provide time this year. Some of you, as you walked in, picked up one of the journals, and here is a journal right here. We're going to provide journals for everyone. If you didn't pick one up, as you leave the venue that you're in, go ahead and go outside and you can pick one of these up. We're going to provide four of these for the year. The journal, this journal right here, will take us all the way through Easter. And as you open the journal, and everything that I'm going to tell you right now is on the first couple of pages of the journal. So if you just open it up, it tells you basically everything. If you turn a couple of pages, you get to like week one, and you'll see there are the passages for week one. And you kind of read through those passages, and you kind of answer some questions. And then that prepares you to listen to the talk. Okay, everybody listen. We do not want you to start today. We want you to start on January the 1st. January the 1st, you start. When you start, you're going to be reading all the passages that are going to help you listen to the talk that is given on the Sunday following your reading. This is a big learning we had from 2012. In Eat This Book, we were basically just trying to keep up with what you guys were reading. And most people were not prepared to hear what we were saying on Sunday. So this year, we've made it different. This year, you're going to be reading the assignment before the teacher is up here talking. So you'll be mentally starting to prepare and ask questions about the passage that we will teach. Does that make sense to you guys? So you'll be doing a little bit pre-work. Now, if some of you are going, "Oh, this is like just too much. I can't do that. I can't read that many passages." Then we always provide a psalm for you for every week. And you can just read through that psalm and then make your own notes and stuff like that. If you turn another page, then you'll see there's a review of that week with some questions that some people have put together. And then you see a blank page. And that's what you bring on Sundays to kind of take notes from the person who is teaching. And this is going to help us to understand God's word a little more. So the idea is this. You start on January the 1st and you start reading Genesis 1. On January the 8th, I'll be up here and I'll be talking about Genesis 1. So you'll be reading ahead of me before I actually start the teaching. Also, we have provided a Bible app for you guys. So there's the biggest Bible app there is called YouVersion. If you go to YouVersion, it's totally free. Just download YouVersion. If you go to YouVersion, then you go to Plans, click on Plans, and you'll find the Love This Book Blackhawk app. And then you can click on that, and then you'll have it. It's absolutely free. And then you just follow their promptings, and then you can start the Bible reading plan, and it's all right there in that app. But don't start it today. Start it on January the 1st. Everything I'm telling you right now is on our website. So here's another kind of screenshot of our website. So everything I'm telling you right now, just basically forget what I'm saying, just go to our website. It explains everything on what you're to do. Are you to start the program today? The answer is?
No.
What day are you supposed to start it?
January 1st.
Well, let me ask you another question. Are we having any services on January 1st?
No.
No, zero services. Go online, worship where you are. I'm doing a little talk about this very subject, and then it'll again prompt you to start that day. Don't start today, start January 1st. On our website, you can see there's a place where we'd like you to kind of sign up, and also we'd like you to, if you can, to pay for the booklet. The booklet costs $2. If that's too much for you, don't worry about paying it. But we don't want to take any cash or anything like that. We want you to pay everything online. How much does it cost?
$2.
You can probably afford that. So that'll help us a lot. But if you can't, if it's too much, don't worry. It's free for you. Also, we just like to send you different kind of tips, send you different emails. So please register, and that'll help us kind of keep in touch with you. If you ever just think you're getting too much, you can deregister, and that's fine too. So just do everything online, and that will help us a lot. So those are tools that we are providing for you. And not just you, but for your children, middle schoolers, high schoolers, college age, everybody at Blackhawk is going to be going through Love This Book. Our goal is not to read through the entire Bible, but to help you fall in love with the Word of God. The teaching team, we will be like tour guides, basically. And we will be up here every Sunday, and we'll basically kind of show you the highlights. If somebody came to your house and visited you, like from Hawaii, like my friend did, and they had like a day in Madison, what would you show them? You can't show them everything. You're going to just probably take them downtown, see the Capitol, and there is a university here. You might want to show them something like that. But I mean, if you want to show somebody Madison, or if they're from Hawaii, like my friend, and he goes, hey, Wisconsin's famous for cheese, you're probably going to take them to a cheese shop. You can only do so much with people in a small amount of time, and that's what the teachers are going to do. We're not going to tell you everything about Genesis. We're just going to be tour guides for certain parts of the Bible as we go through it. So we're giving you tools. We're going to be a tour guide. But there's one more T. That is, you have to provide the time. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the time? Answer is?
Yes.
Yes, you have the time. The question is, do you want to take the time? God wants to be with us. The issue is, do you want to be with him? When my dad was dying in 1991, the year before, once we found out he had a bad leukemia, we visited him. We drove from Louisiana to Indianapolis, 17 hours one way, 8 different times that year. Why? Well, because I felt guilty and I felt, no. Well, it's my duty because I'm a Dolson. No. We made all those trips because I love my dad. I wanted to be like with him. Do you love God? Do you spend any time with him? No, I'm too busy. Oh, really? I feel like this is a duty. The issue here is about your relationship, right? God wants to be with us. The question is, do we actually want to be with him? This next year in 2017, we are going to do our best as tour guides. We're going to provide you with tools. We're going to try to do talks that are relevant to the passage. Bible is a very difficult book to understand. We're going to do our best this next year to try to make this relevant, applicable, and understandable. But you have to provide the time. And so for many of us, it's like, oh my gosh, I just don't have that in my life. I can't do that. Well, welcome to Black Hawk Church. There's many, many people like that. And you're going to get all kinds of encouragement from us. We don't want to make anybody feel guilty. We just want to encourage you to fall in love with this book. And as you do that, you'll fall more and more in love with God. 2017 is about loving this book. I can't wait for 2017 to happen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for being a God who loves us. We thank you for being a God who has revealed himself to us in different ways as we look at the starry night, as we look at the snow, as we listen to birds as they sing, as we fellowship with one another, we see your hand everywhere. We pray that we might be people who would take the next step in our journey towards you by, for many of us, creating a brand new habit in 2017, but carving out time to be with you. We pray, Father, that this year would be a year of transformation. For many of us, we have struggled with all kinds of things and we wrestle with our relationship with you. We pray, Father, for this year to be a year of breakthroughs, that we would break through in all kinds of areas because we're taking the time, we're using the tools to fall in love with you through your word. Help us, Father. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. All God's people said.